I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. St. Louis's Songbird Cafe is a monthly gathering of local musicians playing in the round to an intimate audience. It's the brainchild of Steve St. Cyr, modeled on the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. He's going to join us later, along with the musician Kip Louie, and we'll preview a new exhibition that opens this evening. Social Security explores the issue of how artists and musicians sustain themselves in times of economic uncertainty. Well, our first guest might have an idea about that. We'll find out. Jazz guitarist and vocalist John Pizzarelli has had a great career. He's played with everybody everywhere. He's currently appearing at Jazz at the Bistro. He has a new CD, Double Exposure, and he's written a book about his life, World on a String. John Pizzarelli, welcome back to Cityscape.
I thought I'd hear in my intro, and he's written a book about his life. It's nice to be here, Steve.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that earlier. Do you ever feel like you're a little young to have done that?
Yeah, it's strange, but there's enough stories. I was surprised that it held up, and my friend Joseph Cosgrove, who co-wrote the book with me, collated it all very well. It actually seems like a nice book.
It is a nice book.
I can't believe I did it.
It's a great book. And what about what I said earlier about this topic we have coming up about, you know, making a living as a musician in an uncertain economy? I guess the economy was a little better during your career, but what about people trying to work today?
That's a very good question. I just think that the one thing that does stand up is that live music is irreplaceable. You know, everything else, they can change CD sales, they can change the way certain things are done, but you still have to have the live experience. So, I mean, it may not pay as well or do whatever it is, but there's still room for it, and people want to hear an actual person play a guitar or play a piano or do things. So I think it's the one thing that might not change.
And that's what you've been doing for the last 30 years.
Yes, it is.
And still, I read, gee, what was it? How many dates do you do a year? 250?
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. I always ask my drummer because he keeps count. He can tell you how many plane flights we've done. It was like 102 plane rides, you know, so it's crazy.
Well, I want to talk about your book, World on a String, but since you're talking about live music and since you're here with your guitar.
Well, everybody wants me to play a little bit of Harvest Moon from the new album. It's a Neil Young song, so I'll just take it. I'll give you a little bit of it. Come a little bit closer. Hear what I have to say. Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go dancing in the light. We know where the music's playing, let's go out and feel the night. Because I'm still in love with you, I wanna see you dance again. I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon. Shine on, harvest moon for me and my gal.
That's John Pizzarelli. Double Exposure is his new album. That was really nice.
Thank you.
How come all covers on this one?
Well, it's usually covers of American standards, you know, either for what they call the Great American Songbook, Gershwin or Richard Rodgers or Duke Ellington or things like that. On this one, I decided to do pop songs and show them through the eyes of jazz of the 50s and 60s, in a sense, or combine like a little bit of Shine on Harvest Moon, the old standard, with Neil Young's Harvest Moon. So there was little ways that we mixed songs together on this record.
A year ago, a writer in the New York Times described your career as the opposite of an overnight sensation. Actually, he was talking about your wife, too, I think.
Yes, Joe Nocera. Yeah, it was actually, it's in the book, too, that quote, because I think he liked the idea that we've actually been working at it. You know, so many people, they go on a TV show and their goal is to win the show and become a rock star or become a and this was his point. It's not exactly, you know, I agree in a sense with it. But, I mean, I think that this is just, his point was that we've been working hard at developing something over a long period of time and gotten quite successful at it. So the idea is that you can actually work towards something as opposed to winning a contest and getting immediate whatever you get, you know.
Well, you had all the right mojo, I guess, growing up, didn't you? In your book, and you talk about it, of course, your dad, Bucky Pizzarelli, mm-hmm. had a fantastic career of his own. And your book, World on a String, you know, talks about your life growing up and not, you know, not only just your dad, but I guess a couple of his brothers. I mean, you really grew up in a house full of not just related musicians, but famous people coming and crashing on the couch.
Yes. We had, you know, not just the family get-togethers, but Les Paul lived a couple of towns over, would come over a lot to try things out there. And also Benny Goodman would come and he'd hang out and have lunch, and then he'd take a nap up on the bed, and we'd come home from school and there'd be Benny Goodman sleeping on the bed.
Now, your dad, Bucky, who has been on the show before mm-hmm. a few years ago,
just finished up, I'm sure. He's, you know, he likes to talk.
And he's still going strong. What is he, 80?
He'll be 87 in January.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it's great.
You know, for those people who don't remember, he was part of the Tonight Show band for a long time.
And when it was in New York, yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I wanted to ask you, though. When Johnny Carson packed up and moved to Burbank in whatever year that was, your dad opted not to go for, I guess, some personal reasons. Do you ever wonder how things might be different? Evidently, it didn't hurt your career too much. But how things might have been different if you had gone?
It's a good question. I don't know if I would have. I don't think it's this. It was the same place. Although maybe. Well, no, I don't think it was. I mean, I had a lot more opportunities. I think it all fell in correctly in the New York area. I had so, you know, and I was working in New York. There were a lot of places to work in New York, and I just don't think that there was the kind of opportunity in Los Angeles. And I don't think my father wanted to go because he was enjoying his work in New York City and his center of friends and his family too. So I think it was just everything fell in place for us in New York, and I don't think we wanted to leave.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
I hope so.
Hey, I want you to play live again in a minute, but let's play Cut Off Your CD, Double Exposure. There's a song that you say sort of explains the concept. Maybe you want to say something about it?
Well, you know, it's mostly the record is pop songs that I really enjoyed between, you know, my high school years and college years, and we've set them to jazz of the 50s and 60s, and this one is really the whole case in point. It's Lennon and McCartney's I Feel Fine, and it's set to Lee Morgan's jazz classic, The Sidewinder.
Baby's good to me, you know, she's happy as can be, you know, she says so. She's mine, you know, she tells me all the time, you know, she says so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know, she says so. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
And that's John Pizzarelli. He's in St. Louis before me at Jazz at the Bistro with two sets left to go this evening and tomorrow night. That sounds great.
Oh, thanks.
Also, back to the book, World on a String. There are a lot of fascinating stories about all the great people you've worked with over the years. Where do I start?
Well, the Sinatra chapter is how we got the book deal, in a sense, because they were interested in that I opened for Frank Sinatra at 18 concerts.
Well, I like the way in the book how you describe your first meeting with Frank Sinatra, because I was so excited for you. And then it's sort of, well, I won't say a letdown, but you explain it.
Well, it was. You know, I honestly thought going to meet him, that it would be a lot different, and he was just older and just didn't.
It had to be the biggest thing for you.
Yeah. Oh, it was, that's the top of the mountain at that point. And then we, you know, just to be in the room with all those folks, to be part of the production was a big deal. And they said, come on, we'll go meet him. And I thought maybe it'd be like, hey, Pizzarelli, what? Hey, oh my gosh, you know, this is great. Come on.
Know your dad. I know your dad.
Yeah, I know your dad. You know, he played on the records. Oh, that's fun. And my mother had met him years earlier in 1980. They did a concert at the White House, and so they had a big dinner Sinatra's rhythm section and my father and all the wives, and my mother sat across from Frank, and she still tells stories of Frank Sinatra telling stories about Tommy Dorsey and what fun they had. And all I got when I shook Sinatra's hand was, eat something, you look bad. So that was it.
Did things improve after that?
No, that was pretty much it.
Really?
That was it. Although the best part was when we would play, he was always in the wings for our last number, and our last number was always Sing, Sing, Sing. And he'd always, you'd see him, and he'd be snapping his fingers, and we'd be having a great time. So that was fun.
And speaking of the chairman of the board, there's on page 153 in your book, I thought, oh, that's a publisher's mistake. They left the photograph out because there's a place where a photograph should be.
Right, and it's basically says, if you had seen the people around Sinatra, you wouldn't have taken the picture either, basically. I found out later from a trumpet player, he said, no. He said, you went about it the whole wrong way. The best way to get a picture with Frank Sinatra was to ask his son, and we never talked. I mean, Frank Jr. was great, but nobody knew to say, you think we could get a picture with Frank, to him. They said he was the way to get it. So we never got a chance to get a picture with him. It was too bad, but it was also the nature of what was going on there.
You talk in your book about Rosemary Clooney, and it seems like you really... How did you put it? She sort of was your adopted mom, maybe? Or?
Yeah, and she was to everybody, in a sense. You know, Feinstein talks to her about that, and being like the earth mother to all the singers. And she came to see us, and I worked with her a number of occasions and had a couple of dinners with her, which was tremendous. And she was just full of life and just a very supportive and wonderful person.
What's it like to write a book about all your memories? I mean, did you keep a journal for the last 30 years, or did you do all this from memory later on? I forget a lot of things. How about you?
You know, it's a lot of it. I just, because I use a lot of the stories when I perform, and a lot of it was Joe would say, tell me everything you can say, you can do, talk about it onto a mic, into a computer, and I would send it to him, and then he'd come back with questions to fill in the blanks. So it was funny because when we were reading the galleys for edits and things, or for misprints, I'd be telling stories, and they said, you know, where was that 6 weeks ago when we were writing the book? You know, so a lot of things we left out.
Would you play something else for us?
Sure. A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. Buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back. The monkey looked at him and said, now listen, Jack, straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. You see, the buzzer tells the monkey you were choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free. The monkey looks the buzzer right dead in the eye. Says, star is touching, but it sounds like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow. Don't you blow your top. Fly right.
John Pizzarelli. So what is it, after reading your book, here's the question. Is it jazz-infused cabaret or cabaret-infused jazz?
Exactly. I think it's jazz-infused... cabaret-infused jazz.
Are you sure?
I can only hope.
Cabaret is... still going strong. I know in St. Louis, even in St. Louis, it's a big deal.
Well, you know, aside from losing the Oak Room in Algonquin, where there's still the Carlisle and Feinstein's for another couple of months, and it's you know, the idea, it's really, cabaret to me is when you have an experience and somebody's going to tell you a story between songs, and they tie everything together. And so I think we do the same thing, but just we're playing jazz at the end of the day. So, but I think cabaret. It's the best way, you know, it's a great medium, you know. It's really like a little sort of Broadway show just in a little room, very intimate room.
There's a photo in your book of you with Ann Hampton Callaway, who's been on this show, and she's great, and you're a big fan of hers, too.
Oh, yeah. We've worked together. We did an Arlen show in Chicago earlier this year, and she's one of the bright lights of cabaret and jazz.
You have time for one more?
Oh, sure. Let's see. The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that, No, they can't take that away from me, the way your smile just beams, the way you sing off-key, the way you haunt my dreams. I know they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still, I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. I know they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. The way you wear your hat.
Jazz St. Louis presents the John Pizzarelli Quartet. I think it was last night you opened a Jazz at the Bistro.
Two nights ago.
Two performances this evening, 7:30 and 9:30, and again tomorrow. If you'd like more information for tickets, the number is 314-289-4030, or go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to Jazz St. Louis's website. It's a new CD, Double Exposure.
Buy in bulk. It's the holidays.
Yeah, a fascinating book about his life and career, World on a String. I understand you did a master class at SLU yesterday, and this afternoon you're going out to Fort Zumwalt High School.
Yes, we are, right after this.
I have one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Go right ahead.
At the end of your book, World on a String, you answer questions that you think maybe weren't answered in the first part of the book. And I couldn't help but noticing the only question at the end that was posed that you didn't answer was what you got on the SATs.
Oh, yeah. Well, the number was so low, we didn't want to embarrass us. I just got 400 for writing my name right.
I want you to know it made the rest of us feel better when I read that. So what's ahead? Anything?
I'm going to Japan right before Christmas, and then in January, just to, still traveling about and doing the things that I do. So hopefully we'll make a record sometime in the middle of next year, and more of the same.
Well, I love your work.
Thank you.
That's John Pizzarelli, Jazz at the Bistro, sets tonight and tomorrow night. Thanks again so much for being here.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Good seeing you again.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Social Security at the Luminary, and later the Songbird Cafe. This is St. Louis Public Radio.